Hello and welcome to another exciting episode of Best of Five, your weekly FGC talk show where we discuss everything that happened last weekend, that's happening this week, that's happening next weekend, and everything in between. Well, that pretty much covers it, right?
It's a special Best of Five as well this week because it's the last one before the CPT, so we'll finally have Street Fighter to talk about again.
Yeah, that's right. We do have Final Round coming up this weekend, but it's also a special episode because we have a guest. It's a guy that's been on the show a couple of times already, in fact.
Yes, of course.
Friend of the show. We're big fans. It's none other than Ryan Gutex Gutierrez. Now, some of y'all might be thinking, who? We have our own PogChamp face emote in the chat.
Nothing compares to the original.
But nothing compares to the original. Shout out to Piozera for the sub. But when Gutex comes on in about an hour, I want to see some rival emote carnage in that chat between our BOV champ and PogChamp.
Yeah, it'd be good.
And, you know, they face opposite directions, so you can make it look like they're kissing. All right. So, tonight on the show, as we always do, we'll have a recap, and that'll be brought to you by none other than Steve Ace King Offsuit Jurek. There he is. That's a powerful point. And we'll be joined for all the lovely topics from Mortal Kombat 11 to the Tekken World Tour to the Grand Blue trailer to the Power Rangers full roster being announced by Event Hub's finest, John Velociraptor Guerrero, who has a blurred background.
Look how fancy that is.
That's pretty cool.
This is just a setting on Skype that we've been able to do this entire time, as far as I understand it. And we've never done it. But it looks way cool. It makes my, I'm at my parents' house right now because I'm
And you're so ashamed that you had to blur it out?
Yeah, but it makes it look super cool. Like, what is it? I don't know.
Thank you, by the way, to Kwanzai for the sub.
Yes.
And Die by Sword.
Die by Sword. Who's that guy?
And Piozera.
We're John. Getting the solo John non-clap right now.
Yeah. Whenever you're ready, Elon, cut to all four of us. There it is. All right. Hey, guys. Welcome to the show. We have a good one tonight. We're going to start off like we do every week with a recap. Steve?
Do we have to? I guess we do.
Yes. You know, this is the appetizer.
Thing, isn't it? Let's kick it off with the Street Fighter League once again. The Japanese Street Fighter League, powered by Rage, had its final events of the regular season this past weekend, and it was a very good weekend for Itazan. Came in very close to that cut line to make the playoffs. Not only did he make the playoffs, but a 6-0 win over Flame, and then a 6-3 win over Aurora. Aurora getting one back in the crying time match, as it's called, to get the first place spot in the regular season standings. So Itazan's team will face the winner of Nemo and Mago, that semifinal, for the title. And that will take place on March 21st. So that extra match, by the way, is a special rule. If one team gets swept, they have a chance to earn 3 points if they have their either their beginner or high class player take on the other team's pro player and win. So all three matches in round 10 ended up with sweeps. All three had crying time matches, but Aurora, Nemo's team, the only one able to get extra points. So congratulations, Itazan, Nemo, Mago. Your teams are going to play for the championship. Taking it back stateside, we had the second wave of online qualifiers for the U.S. Street Fighter League. On the east side, Just a Kid took the grand final over DR Mandrake to get his name into the Street Fighter League draft. He will be joined by JB, who took it over Penguin Ice on the west side. Strider getting a top three finish. Good to see him back up near the top of the standings. But so JB and Just a Kid will become players number 3 and 4 to qualify for that Street Fighter League draft. The last two of those will be determined this coming weekend. And then on the Smash side of things, the big story, of course, was the Smash Ultimate Summit. There was that that storyline coming in of you have the melee gods taking on the new wave, the ultimate, and the Wii U players. Who was gonna emerge? It was all about the new wave of players. MK Leo getting the win, the Buzz in second, and Gluttony from France all the way finishing in third. You also had Zachary, very strong Japanese player, making top six. The so-called Melee Gods, not a great weekend for them. When they faced players outside their own group, they went a combined 2-9. Only one of them, Armada, got a win over someone other than the group in the playoff round.
Who was it against? Sorry, I should have asked if you knew that before I asked.
I think it was Zero. I read it. I forgot to write it down. I believe it was Zero.
Get fucked, Zero. Am I right? Right, John?
Yeah, that's just mean spirited.
Truth hurts. Okay, what else you got?
And then there was the, I don't have a graphic for it, but that 5v5, NorCal versus SoCal.
I tried to watch that thing. I couldn't even find it.
Well, you should have watched it because an Austin, Texas boy 5-0'd Team NorCal as a SoCal player.
How did that happen? I need more details.
It's good that it happened. And it's like, obviously it's not staged, but I don't think that like the first time your show is on NBC, you want to see a 5-0. Maybe I'm wrong.
It was a 5-0 and like, the kid's not even from SoCal at all. Like he's not even live there.
Who was it?
It was Nigel. He's from Taylor, like, you know, 30 minutes north.
Nice.
He used to come to the
How do you guys see that? How do you react to that? Is that a good thing considering what this was, which was we got onto NBC right after Saturday Night Live, not the best time slot, but we made it on like regular ass television in the middle of the, or, you know, middle of the regular season. But then it was a 5-0. I wonder what new people, what new eyes, if any, we were going to get from that. Did we get them or did we not get as many because of the results, or is it just good that it was there?
I mean, was it hype? If it was hype, I feel like it wouldn't necessarily have a detractor effect.
It was hype and not hype at the same time. It was hype for me because Nigel played awesome and he kicked the shit out of everybody. He plays Balrog.
Okay.
But at the same time, yeah, it was a 5-0 and it wasn't particularly competitive. So it was like, you know, yeah, I understand what you're saying. It looked a little ugly for on stream. Like they you expect a 5v5 to take a pretty long time, and when it's a 5-0, yeah, it just doesn't.
Wait, did he go up first?
Yeah, he went up first.
Like he literally just went in there,
Nigel
cooked him,
went first, cooked him, and left. All the SoCal, the actual SoCal guys were just laughing like the whole time. They were like, "This is sick! Like we're gonna play."
Who did he take out?
Chris T was the captain.
Okay,
I mean he beat some great players. He beat Alex Myers,
Samurai. LPN.
Dang. Yeah. Was it unfamiliarity or like with Nigel's style?
Nigel's
or?
Really good, man. I mean, there's nothing else to say. He's been doing good all year. He practices super hard. I'm proud of him.
I don't have cable anymore, but I have YouTube TV and I looked for it. I was trying to record it so I could watch it and it wasn't even there after SNL.
Well, it was prioritized in the California markets. Some markets chose not to pick it up or chose to air it at a later time. If you go on to the NBC, your local NBC channel's website, a lot of them do have links to watch it. I know NBC Miami has a link, as well as NBC Los Angeles. So it's very possible that you can still go back and watch it if you didn't get to watch it live through that.
Well, I will watch it because I was interested, invested, and now that I know that Nigel swept, gotta watch it for myself.
He goes super ham too, so it's actually pretty fun to watch.
Okay, so that's what happened last weekend. What's happening next weekend, Steve?
The big event this coming weekend is Final Round. It is a huge event for a lot of scenes, you know, especially the Atlanta Tekken team. But the big thing for most viewers, it is the start of the 2019 Capcom Pro Tour season. So we are back. The off season officially over. We're done. With all due respect to Arxis World Tour, it feels like once CPT starts, then you know TWT is starting around the corner. And then it feels like the season is going again.
For sure. Yeah. Anybody here going to final round? What about you, John?
No, I think I'm going to go to Northwest Majors, but I just didn't really want to go to final round. It's just it's all the way across the country, and I just wasn't really feeling it. So
you know, that's how you beat me to it. But you know, people have been like, "Nah, I think I'll pass because it's final round." We haven't talked about that in about a year.
I mean, it'll be fine.
I've been to, I think I've been to most of like the tournaments where you have like a you know, like there's Jabali's CEO, there's Alex Baez tournaments, there's Big E tournaments, there's Shin Blanca tournaments and such. Final round got a really negative, you know, a lot of negative PR. Was it 2 or 3 years ago? The year Street Fighter V came out, I guess it would have been in 2016, where they had way too many people. But like we've talked about that a lot. And that was more or less a forgivable thing to an extent. It's like they had over 1,000 entrants and they weren't ready for it. And it's like, yeah, sure. But this is a long-running tournament. It's been pretty good. The East Coast tournaments have not been my favorite, you know? And I think that's mainly because, not because they're super bad, but because tournaments like Combo Breaker and CEO and the and like SCR have really raised the bar. And it feels like a lot of the East Coast tournaments, for the most part, are somewhat stagnant. So if I had a critique, that's more of what I would say. But it's not, I'm not going personally because it's final round. It's just not very, it's just not easy for me to do right now. And so I'm personally not.
All right.
I think the big thing is it's so hard for a lot of, for an event like that to get its reputation back. You know, you talk about the problems final round had, and we found out, you know, 2017, 2018, that they've run with much fewer problems. They've improved in a lot of areas, but they're still having problems getting players back into the fold simply because there's so many options. Like you talked about, there's CEO, there's Combo Breaker, there's NCR, SCR. You only have so many dollars and so much time to go to tournaments if you're not a sponsored player. So you have to pick and choose. The big thing this year was a lot of people were caught by surprise about the relatively early, I guess you could say, cutoff for registration. So it was 2 weeks before the event. So there are some big names like Speedkix and Anakin who missed the deadline and are not going to be in the field. So there's a little bit of drama about that. But, you know, even for those players, they have so many, there are too many tournaments, I think, right now. There's so many big tournaments out there that final round has to do something. It's so hard to get the taste of that 2016 event out of people's mouths.
Final round also, I don't have the tweet or the statements right in front of me, but I feel like they've a couple of times said, this isn't coming back, this was the last time, and then final round comes back. It feels like that's happened a few times. Maybe that's just in my head. But
no, it has. I think it's really that they're the March tournament. They're the tournament that aligns with when Capcom wants to start their pro tour. And I think it's kind of kept them alive. But, I mean, that's pure speculation.
Well, it's funny that their final round in the very first tournament.
Yeah, and I know Shin Blanca has also spoken so much about like how he's been having issues running the tournament and he's been wanting to step away, but I think
sounds like
he just keeps getting sucked back
in. You need a whole freaking staff, and in reality it's a real pain in the ass to run a tournament of this size.
Yep. It really is. You know, a lot of people think TOs are swimming in dough. This shit is difficult. It's difficult to do at all, much less do well. So,
I mean, even if... Yeah. They used to like come up with these like 10 grand numbers, you know, whatever. And it's like, even if they did make that, the amount of hours they put in, they probably made less than minimum wage. So yeah, you're not these guys aren't swimming in dough from the tournaments, I promise.
Yeah, and to add to the point that they've been improving, Mike and I were there that 2016 year.
Yeah.
Where
so was I.
It was terrible. But I went the year after. I don't think you went.
No, I didn't.
And it was night and day because they switched over to the convention center. The floor was spacious. The tournament was really well run. Everybody was on top of their shit. I can't speak for last year because I was not there, but I think that was a very good sign that they're on the up and up.
Yeah,
I
hope it works out. So obviously it's the inaugural CPT event. We're excited about that. I think I saw on Twitter that the Capcom Pro Show, I forget the name of it, is returning tonight. Although in the picture, the talent, I didn't see Michael Martin. That dude got, he used to be the host and he used to be in charge of the esports social media, but now I think he's taken, and I have to get confirmation, but it looks like he's taken John D's old position and he's like in charge of biz dev on it. So shout out to Michael Martin. If we can get him on the show someday, that would be cool. Ask him about it. What are the plans? So anyway, yeah, final round, CPT, we're excited. New season of the game, at least one new character in Kage. I know you're really excited about seeing Kage. Did anybody see this video where they were comparing Kage to Dan from Street Fighter IV's moves? And it's almost the exact same moveset. And implication being that they stole all the animations from Dan.
Exact same. I mean, I can see the fireball, but that's like a move that.
No, the fireball is the obvious one. But then in reality, it's like pretty much every move in normal is very similar to Dan's, including his idle animation.
Hey, I have a quick question.
Link me that.
What is your quick question, Alon?
When is the arcade version of Street Fighter V Arcade Edition coming out?
Thursday. I think it's on the 14th.
Thursday.
Yeah, Thursday. It hits Japan.
Okay. Do you think we're going to see something new in that arcade edition?
Maybe not in the arcade edition, but Ono did say he is going to be at Final Round. So you got to believe there's something going to be announced this weekend.
90% that we'll probably get a new character announced this weekend. And if it's anything like the last, I guess, two character reveals for Street Fighter, we'll probably get them the following Monday or maybe even later that day or maybe even 2 hours before he's announced. Who knows? But
Do you guys remember when Arcade Edition dropped for Street Fighter 4? It came with the twins. I think Oni
and Evil Ryu were secret.
Evil Ryu.
Yeah, but then they got leaked early from the arcade.
I don't believe you. Okay, so that should be exciting. Are there any other tournaments that have important events at Final Round? Like, is, for example, Tekken World Tour had a big announcement. Are they being featured prominently at Final Round?
No, Final Round is not part of the Tekken World Tour. TWT will kick off next month at the Mix-Up in Lyon, France.
Now, there is a Tekken tournament, right? It's just not part of the tour,
Yeah, and Atlanta, Atlanta, one of the hotbeds for the American Tekken scene. So that will still be a big event. It won't necessarily have as many international players as you saw last year when it was part of the tour, but it's still going to be pretty darn good to watch.
Now, I have the Street Fighter brackets open here in front of me. I don't know if we want to do like just kind of a quick
rundown. Any juicy
of the
bits?
Kind of talents that are there. So I haven't looked into this. I've seen some stuff on social media, people just reeling back at how the brackets continue to grow with more and more strong players, recognizable names, and how much you can disperse that through 16 pools. It's like, obviously, it's going to be harder and harder to get out of pools. Looking here on Smash GG, the first two pages, and there are 25 names per page. So the first 50 names are all players that you go, oh, they could probably get out of their pool. The number 50 for reference is Neon. Okay. And like, he's a great player and he's ranked as like 50th on, and then
he's
below
a CPT
even, there's like,
before.
Yeah. There's like Shine is below that somewhere. So that's what you're kind of getting at. I'll read just the first couple here. Tokido, Fujimura, Problem X, Fudo, Sako, Jay Wong, NL, Oil King, Knuckle Doo, Daigo. That's the top 10.
Now, we've seen people that get those points early, keep them, but this is a premiere, not a super premiere, and I'm actually a little bit fuzzy on how that all breaks down this season. Steve, if you will.
Well, the premiere point breakdown is very similar to how it was last year. You still get 700 points for first. You get 350 for second this year instead of 270. There's still a big value on winning these events. Super premieres don't award quite as many points as they did last year, only 1,000 instead of 1,500. But there's three of them instead of just one. The three being Evo, the Japanese premiere to be announced, and the CPT North America finals.
Cool. Sorry, I'm responding to Dash No Chris in the chat, who's asking, are we talking about the top 50 seeds of Final Round?
Yes, we are.
Any other surprises or people that might be missing? Or I guess you have to have entered to be featured.
I mean, so I also have the pools up here. Obviously not going to go through all of them, but just I'll grab a random one. Pool A2. You got CJ Truth, Bonchan, Tampa Bison, Chris G, Nova Spec. Yeah, and that's not even that bad of one. You know, I'm trying to find one that's pretty. You got C2 is Phenom, Itabashi Zangief, 801 Strider, Ramasama. Yeah, so I mean, like, these are, you're going to have your two that's like, okay, well, two people get out. Unless, I'm not sure if they're doing the three out, but I haven't heard of anything like
four
that.
Out. So
assume two.
Four out.
Four out?
Or wait, no, I was looking at the wrong one. It is three out.
Okay, three out. So that's good. So at least, like, people will get a chance here. But F2, Shen, Mago, JB, Neon, FGC, ooh, Jesus, Nigel, who we were just talking
that's
about.
That's horribly seated. Okay.
and there are, okay, so then you look around, there's one that only has Sako, Toy, Ryusei, and then like Joel. And so it's like, yeah, there's some that are kind of a,
yo, Toy's good.
Momochi, PR Rog in the same pool, LPN.
What about H1? Problem X, Doomsnake, Moke, Terrence, and Shine.
So it's going to be a fun tournament to watch. I'm excited. I feel like I've been a little bit disinterested in Street Fighter V for a while, but the CPT definitely always turns that around every year. This is a good one. So no Tekken World Tour major.
Those pools sound like they need some help.
Why didn't they call Mike?
Well, to be fair, though, as Steve said, there's enough good, and John said, there's enough good players in there that you're not going to be able to make them beautiful. Like someone's getting their heart broken this weekend. By someone, I mean a lot of people.
Ultra David agrees. Pools are wild. Person, yeah. Hey, before we move on, Mike, what's going on with your shirt?
What's going on? Oh, it's the finale of The Bachelor tonight.
Right. So it looks like you already got the rose.
I mean, I wish I had the rose, but I'm going to see who gets the rose tonight.
You've been talking about the TV show this whole time?
Yeah.
I thought you were talking about the Chris O'Donnell movie from like the early 2000s.
We can watch that too.
Let's move on to the Tekken World Tour. Finally, some announcements. Steve, you've been hoarding this information, regardless of the fact that you know everything and that you write for them and that you're part of the Illuminati of Tekken World Tour. You withheld it from us, but now the embargo is lifted and you can let us know. Finally, please reveal what has transpired in the world of the Tekken World Tour.
All right. Well, first off, I'm not even part of the Illuminati as of yet. I might be, I might not be. That's still to be determined. But today they finally rolled out the changes for the 2019 Tekken World Tour. This is not just your Capcom Pro Tour Lite. It is significantly different.
Do we have slides for this?
We do have a little bit. Let's take a look at some of the key changes first off. The big thing people were talking about last year was the money, especially for Tekken World Tour Finals. There was a $25,000 prize pool for the finals. This year, that's going to be a $100,000 amount, and that amount is a baseline, which leaves the door open for some sort of mechanism to increase the prize pool, whether that's through some sort of
any idea? Have they even hinted at what it might be?
I don't know. It could be
usually
DLC.
It's a costume.
It could be a compendium of some sort. It could be merchandise sales. We don't know yet. But it is, and it might not even happen, but the wording means that there's a possibility for that being implemented.
And 100 is already a decent
Olen
chunk.
Has a question in the chat. For you, Steve.
Yeah, that's a good one. Olin 7 wants to know, what does the white text mean?
It's almost that time again. Next week,
I'm excited for the leaderboards to come back.
Oh, God. I love you all. I love you all.
I feel like love's a different word than what you actually want to use.
I love everybody.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to give everyone a great big hug. Sometimes it's around the arm, sometimes it's around the neck, but neither here nor there.
What else you got here on the key changes, Steve?
So last year there were two categories of events, Master and Challenger. This year there's four. A Master and Challenger return. There's also a Master Plus, which is Evo.
Okay, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, this is the first year that Evo awards points for the Tekken World Tour. Wasn't part of the tour last year. 2 years ago, it was only an auto qualifier for the winner. This year, it's going to be a full-out event. It's basically like a super premiere for the CPT. And then the big, big change is that there are now dojo events. These are events that any TO in the world can apply to be to have their event be part of. They can sign up one event per month to become a dojo event. And this awards fewer points than a challenger, but still means that you get to earn points in your local scene. So if you're someone if you're like Arslan Ash from Pakistan, if you have a Pakistani monthly, guess what? That event can now register as a dojo event and you can earn points on the tour. And that's going to be important because the standings are now going to be based off 10 of your best finishes for the year. So it will only count your 3 best master tournaments, your 3 best challenger tournaments, and your 4 best dojo tournaments.
You're going to see some insane locals like towards the end of the season when a couple of those guys at the top don't have 4 first places yet at a dojo event, and they're going to be like, your backyard is going to have Rang Chu in it. Like, it's going to be nuts. It's going to be nuts. Like, something crazy is going to happen.
How much has the Tekken World Tour leveled up? Just all we have right now is it on paper. And, like, and sure, it could go to hell maybe in execution. But right now, how much better is it looking already compared to last year? With all of the – well, not all of the few issues that it had, it's already immediately remedied those, again, at least on paper. Like, this thing is going places.
So, see, apparently we have Steve.
We should host a dojo. Maybe I'll host a dojo.
Well, in your mother's basement.
Let's do one.
That'll be
the studio.
The
we'll sister
do it in
event.
The studio.
Yeah?
How many people are we going to get? The Donka Cup.
You have to get at least 16 entrants. Easy. In order for it to count. But
4 right here.
there will actually be 4 levels of dojo tournaments, 16, 32, 64, and 96. And the more players you have in the tournament, the more points are on the line and the deeper points are awarded. So if you have a 16, if you have like a 20 person bracket, it's top 4 get points. But if you
we
have
got another here, the Hadu wants to join Donka Cup. So, I mean, that's like 5 people. Yeah. We're almost there to 16. I can get, how is there an age cutoff? Because I have 2 women at home that would be willing to enter. My wife and child. She's only 8 months old, but
everyone who the tournament has to be run through Smash.gg, and you have to be old enough to accept Smash.gg's rules. So I think at least 13. I don't know if there's like a King Ray Jr. exception.
What about a parent permission form?
Yeah, I'll fill one out every day. I'll fill one out for your kids.
Overall, this is a pretty exciting announcement. Looks like they fixed the main problem from last year, which was the prize pool in droves.
Yeah.
Looks good now. And then everything else looks cool, too. So,
Speaking of, we can take a look at how that prize money breaks down. Because you look at...
Oh, that's real nice.
Last year. It is a massive change. It is a much more backloaded prizing system than year one, which was about $200,000 in that pricing. But you've got the winner taking home $30,000, which is 4 times what it was last year. And even, you know, if you just make top 8, if you make that last 8, you're taking home $2,500 versus $750. So you're going to get much more rewarded for making it to the tour finals.
You know, $30,000 is more than some people make in a year. This is one event one weekend of heated Tekken action could make you $30,000. It's incredible. Fighting games, guys. All right. Anything else that you want to talk about Tekken World Tour? There's obviously some events that were announced.
Yeah.
Some people were concerned about the DreamHack one or pointing that out. I believe there's something in Texas. Where is it?
Yeah.
Kumite
that is
in
actually
Texas.
Going to be nice. One of the challenger events. So we can kick it off with the master events to talk about that Atlanta situation. I know a lot of people were disappointed, myself included, for final round not being part of the tour. But the final master event of the year is going to be DreamHack Atlanta. So the Atlanta scene will still get represented. You also have, you know, events in UAE in Dubai. You have a master event in South Korea. You have CEO, Combo Breaker, the usuals. But you also have Collision, which is a new event in Peru. The Peruvian scene, so many great players, including Sapito and Abel Del Maestro. So it's good to see them get representation.
Truly a world tour.
Swag. Yeah. And even if you look at the challenger events, you've got some expected spots, Northwest Majors, Kumite in Texas, which you were talking about, but two spots you wouldn't necessarily expect to see tournaments. Cape Town Showdown in South Africa.
Cool. Sick.
That is going to be. And then you've got two events in South Africa, or South America, excuse me, TXT in Argentina being the other one, the other South American event. And like I said, with these dojo events, pretty much any Tekken tournament in the world has the ability to be a TWT spot. So you're going to see, I wouldn't be surprised to see one or two players from regions you wouldn't normally expect get close enough through the dojo events so that they can justify going out to a late season master
event. Wake up at 10 a.m. or wake up 10 a.m. says no Korea.
There is actually a Korean event, master event, Rocks and Roll Korea.
Oh, there you go.
It so is surprising that Korea doesn't have more of these, but I mean, there's various reasons for that.
It is a little surprising. Japan doesn't have all that much either. They've got the Osaka Challenger, and they've also got the Tokyo Tekken Master. But really, that's the one sort of downside to this. But again, you've got the dojo events where you're going to have to go to. Because if your knee and you win the first three master events you enter, you can't improve your score. The only way to go to improve your score after that is to go to these challenger events and to go to these dojo events. So yeah, we might end up having like Ni and Rangchu towards the end of the season showing up at our basement, try and get those
the Dunker Cup.
People, when you're looking, obviously it'd be better if there was more, you know, Korean and Japanese events possibly, but I think people have to realize like the craziness that is the Tekken World Tour and like the way it's grown and like the way they have to explain this to, you know, daddy at Namco Bandai. It's like, this has been an Evo for what, 5 years? It was an Evo 2 years as like an arcade board that didn't exist on console. The first Tekken World Tour I remember was like, oh, cool, Tekken's there. Like, it was still a game where JDCR and Saint were the only two sponsored players beating everyone's ass at every tournament. And then it got popular enough to where it became this phenomenon, and every year it's getting this much bigger. Like, I promise next year any problems they have this year will be solved even further. So, like, whatever complaints you have, they have a good track record so far of getting them done.
Ranking points. We have a breakdown here. This is for the Tekken World Tour. It looks pretty slick graphic, not ours. Hashtag TWT. What are we looking at here?
But yeah, this is just showing how those points break down. The Master and Challenger events, still the same from last year. You see with the Master Plus, there's two new levels for first and second, and then everything else shifts down one.
This is wild.
Down two spots from a Master. And then with the Dojo tournaments, if it's a 16-player tournament, you only get 25 points for winning it. But you do get 100 if you win like 100-person bracket that is a dojo. So you could see, like, if you're someone like a Wednesday Night Fights, you can decide, okay, once a month we're gonna say this night is our dojo event. So you could see Jimmy J out there, you can see Speed Kicks out there, and all those guys.
I mean, it's gonna be a big undertaking for the people hosting the World Tour to navigate and check out and accept all these dojo events, but it's going to be cool if it works.
Mark Mann in the chat saying, I'm so glad Tekken is doing better now. I remember the old days trying to even get the game into Evo.
I mean, Doug, it wasn't that popular for a lot of years that I was in the fighting game scene. It was like, oh, cool, that's like the 3D game that some dudes play in Atlanta. I mean, that's literally like the status it had for years, and in Houston.
I went through the Smash brackets, the Smash GG brackets for most of the big games at Final Round, and I have the numbers with where they're at right now if you guys want them.
Let's hear it.
So Tekken 7 is 291. Second only to Street Fighter V, which has 317. Dragon Ball FighterZ, 143. Dead or Alive, 6, 85. Smash Ultimate, 158. Soul Calibur, 6, 129. And Blaze Blue, 56.
And what are these numbers for?
These are what the Smash GG signups say for Final Round.
Okay.
So these are how many players are signed up for each game right now. And I'm not sure if they have emergency registration. I think Final Round normally
they
does.
They do not.
So are these final, or is it closed up?
It's closed up. That was part of the controversy, that there was no real. So, yeah, this is the numbers you see are going to be the numbers you get this weekend.
Yeah. So Tekken 7, 291, not a bad kickoff to everything.
Cool. All right. Any other Tekken World Tour stuff you want to talk about, Steve?
You know, it feels like this was, cause Rick is the Hato is a very big part of, the TWT operation. And this feels like this has his fingerprints all over it simply because of that dojo system. You know, this is one of those things where if it works out, I would love to see CPT adopted. I would love to see other. Yeah. We did see some of that with like the community run brackets for Marvel, or the community run championships for Marvel and a couple others. But I would love to see some way of connecting more scenes into this big picture to help prevent the separation between the pros and everybody else.
Here's the last thing I want to say about the dojo events, which is cool. Which is that because you can only get 4 to count for your placement, I think it leaves a lot of motivation. And some people will argue it's not the right type of motivation. But, you know, you might see some of the best players at your local bow out at the end. And, you know, that's motivation for the other players who can maybe get some points. And, I mean, whether or not it's going to put them anywhere near the level of being in contention, I think people like being able to see that they're ranked on the leaderboards. And I think this will do a lot for local participation and launching.
Shout out to White Shadow for the sub.
Thank you, White Shadow.
I think the maximum amount of entered events is a good idea. And I think it's going to stop some of the issues we had on the CPT where it's like the same, you know, 16 guys travel around to every tournament the whole year and it kind of feels like the same thing.
All right. What else y'all got? If not, we're moving on. To Mortal Kombat 11, Cassie Cage trailer, and Aaron Black officially confirmed, and the story trailer, which we won't actually go into.
Finals are going to be in Bangkok, Thailand this year. Date to be announced.
But cool.
So Globe, again, we're seeing that finals rotate among the continents.
All right, let's watch a little bit of this Cassie Cage trailer and then discuss it. I actually think the fatality is hysterical.
I've got really weird... two different feelings about this game. One is that they put a lot of personality into the characters. It's cool. The other is that the game looks like it sucks. But, I mean, I don't know. So there we go.
Care to elaborate?
They took away the run. Like everyone I've talked to that played the game personally says it feels worse than MKX. Like, I don't know.
Where did they play it? At the fucking, the intro event or whatever?
Yeah, at the intro event.
The announced?
Worse meaning what? Like not like Mortal it's Kombat? Because like, it's clear that they're moving towards a more like thoughtful footsies based.
I don't know. I'm being a hater, but I'm going to play it. So we'll see.
Yeah, well, the original.
It's extra clunky and hard to play. I get that. That could be argued, I think. But I think as far, like I'm excited to play this game competitively because of what I've heard about it so far. And I haven't had any time actually with it yet.
Neither have I.
Can't get over how much Kano looks like Austin.
Dude, you have made. Listen, I don't watch wrestling, so this reference is wasted on me, Steve. I hope our audience appreciates it because you've said it every single week.
For the people.
Give me a one in chat if you want him to continue to compare Kano to Austin Aries every single week. Give me a two if you think I'm an asshole. All right. This particular, yeah, you're hilarious, Alon. I know you're super, super quick to write twos in there. Hater. Check out this. This is the crushing blow or killing blow or really hard blow or whatever, fatal blow. But just wait for the...
Oh, that wasn't the fatality?
No. Here it is. Here it is. Check it out. Here we go. In silence, y'all. Let's just enjoy this.
We're shooting. Kicking the ball. Oh, wow.
That's fantastic. That is fantastic.
I don't want to get
that.
I'm disappointed with the number of twos in here, guys. Jesus. So she like unzips
them. Why do the fatalities look so good, and then when the game's running, the animations are so weird?
Don't worry about it.
It just makes no sense. Like, some point that, like, I don't know.
Wait, what looks... I haven't seen what you're talking... I've never gone like, whoa, that looks crappy. Like, if they've all been pretty visually good, in my opinion.
They all crab walk sideways. I don't know. This is a...
No, the animations are definitely better. That's been one of the main critiques of this game, is that they look weird. The animations are weird. But I think they did a fantastic job on this one. It's looking much better. And I can't wait to play it. I'm going to pre-order it. I'm going to play the beta. And then I'm going to do fatalities online.
Female characters also look a lot more realistic. It felt like the last couple games it was very much Uncanny Valley territory for the female characters.
Everyone was just a supermodel.
It didn't even feel like they were supermodels. It just felt like they were off for some reason, much more so than the male characters. But that is one thing that I'm glad they got right, so that they can just kill off that meme.
Yeah,
that NR.
The other thing that was revealed was Aaron Black's official look in the game. He looks sick. I'm not crazy about the design of his hat, but the rest of it looks pretty cool, dudes.
His other hats have like a row of bullets going around, which is interesting. And that was the case in MKX as well. But I mean, these characters are going to look different, I think, like every time we see them, whether it's variations or just customs from people. So I'm not, like, I say that to say, like, I'm not sure how much to invest emotionally into what these guys look like and how to react to it, because it feels like they're different every single time I see them, every time the game is pulled up.
Some people are excited for him. Some people are curious about the amount of belts that he has on. Why does he have belts on his arms? He's got belts on belts on belts.
Hey, it's like an anime character.
Can you guys tell what that says in the gun? Is that?
It looks like just design. Why don't you enhance?
It looks like flames.
Yeah, it's
I was hoping it was going to be like some sick signature, or like something meaningful, but I think it's just...
What was the name of that old... it was like vaguely tribal tattoo style shirts, like... Why do I want to say Eddie Bravo? What are they called?
Affliction?
No, close.
Oh,
but
Ed Hardy.
Ed Hardy, that's what it was. Not Eddie Bravo. Yeah,
the love kills slowly. Every girl in my like junior year of high school had those.
Yeah, well, that's pretty much what that scribbles on his
Ed Hardy,
looks like
Aaron
to me.
Black. That's funny.
Okay, so you guys excited about that?
He looks cool. You know, I'm feeling this MK much more so than I've felt previous Mortal Kombat editions. So I feel like I'm going to make the jump. I'm
going to play it
here. I'm going to play it. I'm going to play it somewhat seriously. You know, hopefully I don't completely suck and give up like 2 weeks into it.
Steve, you and I are going to grind it out.
I'm going to grind it out.
We're doing that. We're doing it. We're grinding it out.
John, did you see what I was doing, John?
What?
When they said they were going to grind, did you see what I was doing, John?
That's rude.
Oh, yeah. This is like the gay together joke. That's funny. Gil Zero in the chat reminds us, and I just saw this. I can't believe I forgot it. But there is a combat cast next week, and they did a little tease of a character dragging some kind of a weapon on the ground. And I'm 99% sure it's Kotal Kahn. So looking forward to an official Kotal Kahn reveal next week. Not for sure, but 99%.
Yeah, I think Kotal Kahn's awesome. Is he supposed to be like Shao Kahn's brother, or what's the deal? Or is that like his Rasa brother that he married into the family?
I think he's an alien.
From south of the Nether border.
I thought it was more like the Sith, where you don't have to be related.
You must like Kotal Kahn.
Hell yeah, dude!
He's kind of like T-Hawk.
Well, I wouldn't go that far, but like he's like an Aztec guy, which I think is cool. He's like vaguely Olmec.
He does remind me of Olmec.
Yeah. Olmec?
If they put Olmec in MK11, I'd be excited
if
for it.
They put Rick
Fogg. So
Fogg.
We're dropping rest. Kurt so my Fogg. Wrestling, my wrestling references are not okay for the show, but you could drop some freaking Legends of the Hidden Temple references.
Dude, if there was a temple stage where you could do so many things, like you could knock him into Olmec's mouth and he just chomps them, or the temple guard comes out and stabs their head. Dude.
Have you ever watched those compilations of people trying to put together the
like just
monkey?
Botching it hard.
It's pretty funny.
That, No, everyone would get stuck on that stupid monkey. No one could figure it out. The Shrine of the Silver Monkey. No one figured it out. Why are kids so stupid?
It's a good question. Like,
I'll watch that show even though it was recorded 20 years ago and the kid is like 7 or 8 and I'll still yell at the screen.
Makes sense coming from a guy wearing a Doug.
I think Shao Kahn and Kotal Kahn are brothers. I'm going to say that. I'm pretty sure that's going to come out in the story.
And I think that it's canon that Kahn is a last name. Like Kahn from Star Trek is their third brother, in fact.
God.
It's Kahn, Shao Kahn, and Kotal Kahn.
Named Kevin Kahn.
And their pet Shere Kahn.
Yeah, I work with a woman named Simone Kahn, and she's probably in there. That's her sister. So
they meet with you at Comic Con.
Yes, and Comic Con.
Oh, Comic Con. Okay,
that's where that comes from. It's their family reunion. So that's exciting. Mortal Kombat 11 is going to be sick, as you said. The story trailer was cool.
I hope it's sick, man. I'm being a hater, but you know, I do hope it's sick.
I thought the story trailer was cool. They showed. Again, Kotal Kahn is in there. Just to refresh your memory, that's Shao Kahn's brother from south of the border. And Shaka Khan as well. I think that's their mother. And that's all the Khan jokes that I have. Let's move on to the thing that Mike said, don't watch it. Let's watch it live on the show.
Isn't that exciting? I was saying,
no, you built it up.
I think it's more, it's a funny trailer.
What's so funny about it?
It's goofy. Okay, so it's a bit of a slow start, right? This is for Grand Blue.
Fantasy.
Grand Blue Fantasy Final something. I don't know. So at first, there's some guys talking up in the upper right corner. They're talking about something or other. But this is going to be a character reveal trailer for the game. And it is a goofier character than what we've seen so far, for sure.
Has it been 20 seconds? Because we can't talk about it after that.
Is it only 20 seconds? Oh, we're only allowed, skip ahead.
We were told that we would only give this topic 20 seconds. I think we've gone over. So take that.
Oh, okay. Well, we're not going to get to the character then. So I guess we got to get rid of it.
All right. Well, it's over then.
Oh, no. We're going. We're proving I'm wrong.
No, I don't know.
We just need to be longer than 20 seconds.
Who's this? We can be cat ear man? Is this the reveal?
It's a cat ear guy, dude, but with his cat ear friends.
Okay.
And they fight as a team.
Right on. I'm liking this so far. I only see one guy on there.
Oh, but you'll see more. You see, they have the weird run back where they got a robot.
He's got a little robot tank girl?
Yeah.
Oh, there they are.
I get it.
What?
I totally get it.
But it's not even. Look at that. Now, look at them now. They're fighting as a tandem. And now, this is the best part. This is the part I rewinded 97 times.
They bring on a goddess friend?
Yes. You get to play as a giantess girl who shoots giant laser beams.
Dude, she's huge.
Yeah, she's real big.
That's like Galactus. Oh, and then they party after. That's cool. Let's go grab a pint.
So I think that's my main, because I want to play the giant girl.
You mean those are your mains?
Yeah. I mean, I just only want to play as the girl anyway, but I'll play as them to play as her.
That's pretty neat. I'm glad we watched that. More importantly,
I have so many questions.
Go on. Start with the first one.
First one is why. Second one is why.
Does this remind anybody else of Blade Strangers?
A little bit.
Yeah,
you'd have to remind me of Blade Strangers first.
It's the giant boobs one that's not dead or alive.
I think this game is going to be more popular than you would think. That's what I'm going to say. I think the anime community is going to play this one pretty hard, if it's even decent.
Speaking of anime being played pretty hard,
people are really into the card game, at least. You know, I've never been into the series at all, so it's sort of like I see that I'm watching all of this for the first time. This is my first exposure to Giantess Woman and her cat Bishonen friends. So I'm just enjoying this experience as we go.
Hey, let's cleanse our palate with this. We got the Green Ranger and then Magna Defender. You guys remember him, right?
I swear only fighting games get this like weird thing where the game looks like it's from four console generations ago.
And nobody cares? And people accept it?
Sometimes they accept it.
There's a live stream going on right now for this, right?
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Is that with J-Wong?
I don't know. I'm not watching it. I'm watching
this.
Dude,
Goldar, Macedon Sentry, and... wait, who was that other guy? Lord something or other? Lord Dracon.
Lord Dracon.
Obviously. Let me fast forward and see if it gets more characters.
Just looks like the White Ranger lazily made into a bad guy.
I know, right? It's like if somebody took Dan's designs and turned them into Kage.
Kage.
Gia. Oh, Gia's in this? And Cat? That's cool. Ranger Slayer? Let's see what else we got real quick. We're going to watch this in super speed because after this, we're going to go to the question of the day to help us transition.
Wait. I guess the big news for this game is that no one would give any shits about this game except for the fact that it's got a bunch of like big fighting game names attached to development. So it looks like it's got some thought put into it. It looks like a kind of cool game in a lot of ways.
Can you imagine fighting somebody and then they just have their Megazord just step on you?
I kind of like that. That's ridiculous. Actually my favorite thing I've seen so far.
But like, why wouldn't you like do a cool animation where the entirety, like if you're calling in a, what do you call them? The Espers or whatever from Final Fantasy, where they like you see a cool extended animation. No, they just bring his tail in. All right.
But yeah, Yipes and Justin and Clockwork have been streaming.
Because Clockwork is the one doing this thing, right?
He's on the like battle design team, I think.
Okay, guys.
And we will give away copies if it gets more than a 75 on Metacritic.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, fair enough. Guys, Excellent Adventures has officially put its own last nail in its own coffin. Put out an email that said, discontinued. We're done. No more trying to resurrect Excellent Adventures. I'm one of those guys that yes, I'm an 09er, but owe a lot to Excellent Adventures, in particular Gutex and Mycross doing their thing every Sunday. I would wait for those. I would hit refresh on the page to see it pop up and watch the ever-living shit out of those episodes and laugh and enjoy myself and be along for the ride for the ups and downs, share it with my friends and brothers and try to get them into fighting games with this show alone. And by and large, I had some success. So even though I will admit, you know, I hadn't watched it recently, and there's reasons for that, right? I was still sad to see it go. The reasons being that it wasn't Street Fighter 4 and also that Mycross wasn't on it. I mean, if that wasn't obvious. Even though there was plenty of great, offshoots and variations on the show and in the formula with the reads, the menu. What was it? What was the one with Tasty Steve and the recipe? And then also like a bunch of extra guests. I feel like, you know, that show was a victim of its own success, and it was just kind of hard to replicate. And, of course, we have Gutex on later. We'll talk to him about that because it is the end of an era. But we also put the question out to the peoples, and we got some responses. The question was, what were your favorite moments? Question of the day. Steve, you want to hit us with it?
Sure. Rushdown LTS said his favorite moment was the Mike Ross quote, combos, I hit them. Resets, I got those.
If you have time, Google the remix of that. It's fantastic.
The Aqua Azul, his favorite part was when Combo Feet said, "Ooh, goddamn!" And that was my favorite thing was that they somehow included it in that fake Peter reveal trailer for Street Fighter V. It's golden. Naleb Makoto said that their favorite moment was when you realize that it's this show that brought non-FGC friends into it. It was a great gateway and also a tutorial on how to have a great time playing online, which I think a lot of people need to check out. TS Shogun, their favorite moment was Mike Ross Honda versus that Ryu player in episode 99 with Smug, barely maintaining the first and only undefeated session on the show. Truly an edge of the seat moment. And then, of course, Dr. Swaggenheimer going with when Punk was on, he said, quote, when Snake Eyes beat me, I told him, let's hook up the router, East Coast to West Coast, see me online.
Fantastic. I remember even buying the Christmas specials and gifting them to some friends and my brothers, and it's good times, man. That was just some quality content in, like, in my mind, what are some of the, like, a bygone era of YouTube. Now everything's, like, so commercial and packaged and all that stuff, and... Do you have any fond memories of Excellent Adventures, Mike?
I do. I think my favorite moment was, I never caught it like super regularly, but I'd watch it sometimes. And I remember strongly Filipino Champ playing and talking about the jumpers and just anti-airing the guy who was playing versus the second he jumped every single time and just screaming at him from across the world into the void. And I thought that was the funniest thing ever. And I think the funniest part to me was how well he was playing in combination with how much shit he was talking.
Yeah.
In a way that only F Champ has ever been able to do.
Was that the episode where he tried to beat a guy pushing Just Fierce, I think?
That might have been it, yeah.
John, you got a favorite moment from Excellent Adventures?
I No, I mean, I appreciate X-Men Adventures. I love both Mike and Ryan, but I've never really been one to sit and watch other people play. And that's just me. Like, and I've watched a lot of it just because of, you know, posting it on event hubs and such and trying to find some of the best moments and whatnot. But to me, when I think about X-Men Adventures, I just think of more the impact it had and how significant it was to growing the fighting game community, specifically during this chapter where Street Fighter 4 and to an extent Marvel 3 kind of blew the FGC up into this new golden era. And they were right there. And I really like the way it was put earlier. It shows you how to have fun online. This was the time when fighting games transitioned into online. So even though it wasn't something that I sat and watched and appreciated on that level, I appreciated it for what it did for the fighting game community. It's not lost on me how much people really enjoyed it and what it did in the sense of just integrating more people and having them, I guess, appreciate the FGC.
All right, well, we got to get Ryan on. So, Steve, hit me with your favorite moment quickly, and then we will bring on the man himself, Ryan Gutex Gutierrez.
My favorite part was when they had Scar on. And he was making that comeback with his Ryu, and he got a few good guesses in a row. And I think it was Mike who suggested EX Tatsu. He said, absolutely, did it on Wake Up and got the round. And just how everyone reacted to that was insane. If you go to our Twitter, we had a lot of people who included links with in their responses to the question of the day. So please check that out. A whole bunch of great moments on there.
Sweet. Gentlemen, we're going to let you go. That's John Velociraptor Guerrero with the no longer blurred background. He writes for eventhubs.com. He also is on the Event Hubs podcast. You check that out too. And we have Steve Ace King Offsuit Jurek, who is the man, the PowerPointer. If you need a PowerPoint presentation, just bring Steve into the office and have him point, because that's what a real PowerPoint is.
I would not recommend that.
Okay. Well, like I said, do it. All right. Thank you very much, gentlemen. We'll see you next time. Coming on next is Ryan Gutex Gutierrez. I remember being like, man, these guys are the shit. And then I went to a tournament in Laredo. I don't suppose you went to that one back in the day. No. And they had brought in, that was like my first real tournament. I drove there with a friend of mine in Laredo, Texas, and they had invited or brought Mike Ross and Gutex. And I remember Marvel had just hit Vanilla and Jan was doing work. That was back when he had the big fro beard and he always had the toothpick, but it was just great times. It was the time that they interviewed Broly Legs. I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah,
it was a classic Gutex interview with Broly Legs that I remember being received extremely well. And it was just like, damn, these guys are doing it. In fact,
and they've graced UFO with their presence many times as well, you know, and it's always been a big deal. And you always, as people mentioned, like, you always see people who you didn't even know or don't even play the games, but just loved X-Men Adventures and loved, you know, Brian and Mike.
And I remember another time I went to a Texas Showdown, the infamous bathroom Mortal Kombat Texas Showdown.
Oh, I was there.
And at the time I was doing my content creator thing and I was doing videos and I got an interview. My brother came along, who's not an FGC guy. And he came along and was helping me. He just wanted to tag along and do a little brother bonding moment. But we interviewed Mike Ross. My bro was like, who the fuck is that guy? He's awesome. Like, he's just like, he has that contagious personality. And I think all that fed into to the joy.
I think I've said it on the show a bunch of times, but, you know, Gutex.com and those audio podcasts, I guess if you want to call them, were part of my major intro into the scene for sure.
We're going to get him on here in a moment. Any updates? I thought I heard him click a clacking, then he came off. But so we're going to talk to him about, of course, X-Men Adventures because it's the end of an era. And we're going to talk to him about, I mean, this dude is really a pioneer. Like, he's in the best possible way that I can describe it, like a hustler. Like, he figures out how to make things work and he pushes the envelope and he's done a bunch of cool things. Everything from the content that he's created to like showing up as future Gutex at E-League. You know, like, this is a guy that is on another level in an interesting way. And we'll talk to him about that and more. He's also got a new podcast called The Untitled Esports Show, I think is the title of it. And the guy never stops moving. So we're excited about that. Gutex, are you with us?
Gutex is not with us yet. For the record, I did do we did test the call prior to the show, and he was there coming in loud and clear and very you know, image looked good and everything. So we're gonna blame this entirely on Alon.
Yep,
this is Alon's fault. An easy one, he's a technical director, yep. And he has technically failed us. So,
so I can actually talk about my favorite excellent.
Or you could get Gutex on while you do that.
He's currently offline. Oh. I think he had to restart his computer for a camera.
Copy that. Issue. Copy that. Okay.
If you look at the teleprompter, you can see that.
Okay, I see that. Well, you know, I need to put my glasses on. But what was your favorite moment, Alon? Now that you mention it,
My favorite moment was the fact that you could see another side to the pro players when they were on that
show.
Oh,
for sure. That's a good point.
I remember the first time I ever saw K-Brad on there, and I saw how hilarious K-Brad was after like having seen him at tournaments and not talking to him because, you know, the old intimidation.
Sure.
Being around
the sometimes they're inaccessible.
Yeah.
But then when you see them with their guard down in a setting like X-Men Adventures.
You could see that everyone was just a person.
I remember that. What was that? The
DiCaprio thing.
The
DiCaprio.
Hell yeah, man. That was some good-ass episodes. Yeah. Just so many fun memories.
So it made everybody really approachable and, you know, it kind of tore down that barrier of like, oh, maybe we shouldn't talk to them.
For better or worse.
Yeah.
No, I think for better.
I think for better.
Yeah, I think for better. So let's give it the old college try. What do we got here? Alon. We need the chat to hit us with some PogChamps here. Otherwise, it's not going to work. Naughty Senpai, please don't bring up Marn. I still have nightmares of the time that... Okay, we're getting it. We're almost there. I can feel it.
Sorry,
can you hear me? I can hear you, but we don't see you just yet. I bet you that'll boot up here in a moment, though. But
all right, there we go.
It was the PogChamps in the chat. Oh, thank you very much. We really owe a debt of gratitude to the chat for helping sending their energy to you and bringing you on. There he is. Now we see him. There's the man. All right. Ryan, how you doing, man? Thank you for coming on the show.
Sorry. We totally did these tests earlier. Everything was working fine, and then obviously, when it was time to go live, it didn't work. So I had to restart this bad boy. But everything's good now. How are you guys? Thank you for having me.
Yeah, we're doing great, man, and we're grateful to have you on. I think if my count is right, this is the third time that you come on a show that we're a part of, right? Because it used to be Best of Three when we were with Dot Esports, and now we're independent, Best of Five. But I still count this all as one big run. How are you doing, man?
Doing great. Super happy to be here with you guys. So yeah, thanks for having me back.
So of course the obvious reason why we brought you on was because a whole bunch of us got an email, which I have to admit, at first I was like, is that email? Is he talking to me? Is this about me? Did he write me a personal email? A friend, it's because of you. No. Obviously, it was clearly like it took my name from when I registered, and I guess I don't know.
It's the power of
you'll never know.
What can I say? Lie to me, Ryan. Lie to me. Tell me it was for me. But no, obviously, it
was for everybody. I sent out. There were the hamsters were running on their wheels. Email servers were on fire that day. But my hands are killing me.
But of course. You announced that Excellent Adventures that we know and love was officially coming to an end. Not an end to Cross Counters and all your other video products, but Cross Counters in particular. I'm sorry, Excellent Adventures. Yeah, it's over.
Yeah. It seemed pretty clear to me that it was time to move on. I mean, when we started the show in late 2010, it was a...
God, it's been that... Oh, my God. Okay.
Did you feel old yet?
Oh, my God. Oh, okay. Go ahead.
Yeah. I mean, so, you know, it had been a long time. Obviously, there had been a lot of changes. And, you know, yeah, everything had changed. You know, Mike was gone. I've changed, let's say, as a human. So it just seemed like it was best to just cut it off. And not just, I don't know, continue to do it just for the sake of doing it.
I hesitate to ask it because I don't want to sound like I'm disparaging it, but did it feel to you like it had kind of lost its luster and you were kind of like, damn, it won't ever be what it was?
For sure. I mean, there was a lot of that. I mean, you know, let's say, for example, when, I mean, the channel as a whole was kind of mostly inactive. I mean, for most of last year, right? So there was certainly a lot of time to reflect, and there was, you know, it wasn't necessarily like a good time. So yeah. Certainly all those thoughts had, you know, been living in my head for quite some time. I mean, things like, you know, it's like, all right, well, Mike's gone, not coming back. You know, is this worth doing? You know, does it have the same vibe? Do I even care? All these things, you know, let's say like change of games, change of physical location. I mean, everything. And so it all just sort of amounted to like, well, why were we trying to do this in the first place? And does it still serve like a real purpose, both like for the community and also like, let's say, creatively for me?
Mm-hmm. Now, that being said, 9 years, I mean, coming from a point where you were making podcasts, you know, I'm assuming in your basement, and playing, like hoping someone would watch your video uploads of your Ranbats at Video 99 Street Fighter 4, like, you got to be happy with how things worked out, that this many people are reminiscing over an email you're sending that it has finally ended. I mean, what a run.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, obviously I'm super grateful to everybody that was involved, as well as everybody who enjoyed it, you know, over the years. You know, like essentially like multiple lifetimes on the internet, right? So we made it through different games and different, you know, everything. So I'm super glad that it lasted as long as it did. I mean, I think that we really, you know, me, Mike, Steve, Ian, I mean, basically everybody who was a part of the show on the production end, on, you know, on that side of things. I mean, I think we got and gave more through it than any of us could have ever imagined. Because, you know, if you guys remember, I mean, I don't know if you guys remember, but we had like, it just started because me and Mike were just, you know, bored at my house, you know, at my mom's one day. You know, like, there wasn't some big like overarching plan to this. This was just sort of like a sort of happy little accident that we got lucky.
So let's take it back, right? You're talking about the inception of it. I was telling you when we were talking earlier that I was looking at your Twitter feed and I saw the Dogface interview that, yes. And we have it here.
10-year retrospective.
Yeah. So you won't be able to hear it, right? But just for, to hit you with the nostalgia blast here.
Oh my God.
And I know, Mike, a long time ago we had Mike Ross on and you talked about this interview.
Yeah.
But I actually had never seen it. I was watching it. And I got to tell you, before we get into, you know, the inception of X-Men Adventures, how you guys came to be, I was surprised, and I guess I shouldn't have been, that when you were introduced on the show, and look at young ass Ryan Gutex Gutierrez right there, but when you were introduced, he's like, you have a very successful ebook right now. And you're like, yep, I remembered you writing an ebook when Street Fighter V was going to come out, How to Be Good at Street Fighter V, and I was like, damn, dude, this guy's like charting new territory writing an ebook. You were already, this wasn't even your first. You had already done that. What was your ebook about back then?
Back then, that was my first ebook. I guess the one that you know, we're talking about now is I think that's like the fourth or fifth. But the first one was called the Third Strike Player's Guide to Street Fighter 4. See, here's the thing, guys. You have to understand about Gutex. I'm a one trick pony. I'll just do the same thing over and over and over in different flavors, and you know, until it stops working. And at the time, there existed a competitive advantage that SoCal had when it came to Street Fighter 4 compared to the other parts of the country. Keep in mind, this is, you know, well before the release of the console version, you know, so we had a handful of arcades that had Street Fighter 4, and I was in a position where I could see the opportunity that we had to, you know, try to create something useful for people, because at least, I mean, I don't know, at the time it was like Street Fighter 4 was going to be this sort of it was like going to bring together the players from Marvel, CVS2, and Third Strike. So I was like, well, okay, well, let me try to provide some value for my Third Strike, fellow Third Strike players, and create this ebook. And that was pretty darn successful for what it was at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been on the ebook game, you know. It was just like, it's only been recently that the past two have been on Kindle. But mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, well, I just had to ask you about that because I was surprised. Like, damn, dude, this guy. And you call yourself a one-trick pony, but, I mean, if it ain't broke, right? And certainly you've had more than one good idea.
Well, yes, thank you. And, you know, hopefully there will be more ebooks in the future because it's like I'm at a point where I have all of this experience, both, let's say, in-game and metagame experience, you know, that I think it's important to try to figure out how to share it and empty out my brain so that other future generations, you know, don't, you know, can have a leg up mm-hmm. on what to expect and how not to struggle so hard, or at least struggle in different ways.
That's future generations. But going back to these past generations here, so I'm watching this interview, and then again, here we also have Baby Mike.
Oh, yeah.
So this wasn't the first time you guys had met. You mentioned you guys have been playing together already. You'd had him on the Street Fighter podcast a couple of times, but you had not yet started Excellent Adventures. Did this have anything to do with that?
I think that at the time, because this was in January, February of 2009, so it was like, the thing that we did right after this was the first bar fights, which was in Pasadena, California. And, you know, the concept behind that was, you know, to create a main event style fight card style event that wasn't, you know, a tournament. And so I think being on the Dogface show sort of gave us like a lot of momentum, which, you know, started with bar fights, continued with future episodes of the podcast, which we then were able to parlay into an opportunity with Machinima, RIP. And mm-hmm. then it was only after, let's say, working together on the original CrossCounter YouTube show for Machinima for a couple of months that we were advised by one of their guys to make our own channel. And so we did that, and that was essentially how Excellent Adventures got started, because then, we needed content for our own channel.
But you know, what's beautiful about it is, like, it's such a, at the root of it, such a basic idea, right? Two friends on the couch playing a game, and you don't have to complicate it.
Yeah.
What do you think was that secret sauce there, or did I just nail it?
I think there were a lot of factors that led to the, you know, let's say, the early success of the show. One of them, I think, was that we had a production or technical advantage, in the sense of there wasn't a whole, it was much harder, I guess, or much less common to be doing video capture, much less, you know, full HD, you know, mm-hmm. video capture like that. So I think because we were early to the game and we're already sort of established, because, you know, newsflash, like, there was a time where Gutex and Mike Ross were very strong Street Fighter players. You know, so that because we had already had success in tournaments and had already been doing content and, you know, had, you know, good chemistry mm-hmm. and had, like, the production technical advantage of being able to crank out this stuff easily, I think were probably a lot of the reasons why the show worked. And also, of course, you know, like, Street Fighter 4 you know, really caused a revival in terms of fighting games as a genre as a whole. So I think that all those things really sort of led to, you know, why the show was able to, you know, to work. But, you know, that's also part of the reasons why it seemed like it was time to call it a day, you know, because a lot of those things just weren't the same anymore.
What impact does Street Fighter V have on Excellent Adventures, if any?
I mean, it's interesting, right? So part of what I think a lot of people, myself included, really enjoyed about the Street Fighter 4 days of the show was that that moment of suspense of whether or not the player was going to come back for the run back or not.
Mm-hmm.
Sitting in the lobby, being able to like send the messages, being able to read the messages. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was super fun, and a lot of that was not there in Street Fighter V. It's really unfortunate that it turned out that way, especially because at the beginning when Street Fighter V launched, I mean, we had such great viewership. I mean, the first, you know, we had Combo Fiend on as the first guest. I mean, we had like a slew of heavy hitters at the top of Street Fighter V. And, you know, they didn't even add stuff like 2 out of 3 in ranked until later. And that was like one of the things that I guess we thought that we wanted, but the way that they implemented it didn't actually seem to help or seem to work all that well for whatever reason. And I guess, you know, the messaging that was largely gone as well. And I mean, these are just like the things that aren't even really like subjective, you know, like the subjective stuff is like, oh, like Street Fighter 4 is better than Street Fighter 5 or whatever, you know, that you have, that's like a completely separate discussion. So I think in the early days, that stuff, you know, even though we had this huge boost, that stuff didn't end up working out in our favor in the long run. And then, of course, you know, the early problems with Street Fighter V, I don't know. I mean, the lag, all of the clunkiness in the early days, the load times. And then, of course, you know, like I guess later on in Street Fighter V's life cycle, you know, Mike sort of getting, I mean, not just my dude, like everybody was like, this game sucks. So, I mean, you know, obviously we felt some of that as well. I think I held on a lot longer than he did, but you know, I don't blame him. I mean, it's just unfortunate now because, you know, the game is probably in the best, the game Street Fighter V is probably the best now that it's ever been. It's just, you know, too little too late, I guess.
Well, another thing I think people this far removed might forget is that, you know, early on, you and Mike were, you know, pros at Street Fighter 4. Y'all were some of the best. And does that change anything? The fact that you stopped playing so competitively, has that changed the way you've looked at making content? Is it part of why you've made this decision? I mean, like, what transformed from the days where y'all were, like, super top players to you being more casual players who made content?
I think a lot of it was like, I wouldn't say that not caring as much about competing would change like the direction of the content. It was kind of more just like, I don't know, your priorities change. Mm-hmm. And the other thing was like, without constant like training and practice, I mean, you know, we're just not as sharp. Yeah. But the intention was never to, let's say, make the content more, I don't know, more appealing to casuals or anything like that. It was more just like, oh, well, if we're not that good, it's because we suck and we don't practice. And sure. Because that's not something that we're like actively doing. Because the reality is that every competitive career has a life cycle. Right. And it seemed like it wouldn't be like life changes, you know, like Mike went to go work for Twitch. You know, we were always working on a bunch of different projects. It's like, well, do I really have the time and desire to continue to compete? I mean, you know, it sucks to say, but, you know, it's to the point now where it's like I haven't actively played in a way where I was like serious about like getting better, you know, in, I don't know, months. And, you know, a lot of that, some of that, I guess, is the game. But I think some a lot of that is just me changing or me, my priorities being different. I don't know. I don't know. These are the things that happen when you get old, I guess.
And you have a lot of irons in the fire, and we'll talk about that here in a second. But before we move on, I guess I have one of two questions here, and you can answer which one you want. First question is, you're talking about Street Fighter 5 is the best it's been. Could this show, I know you said Excellent Adventure is over, but could this show ever happen again? Do you think you could ever catch that lightning in a bottle again? Or is like that ship has sailed and let's just be happy that we knew it? That's one question. What do you think?
I don't really, I mean, here's the thing. Like, it's a strong possibility that, I mean, I'm still going to be doing fighting game content and, you know, maybe some of that would be gameplay, but I think it would be, I don't really see how we could, I don't really see how you could capture lightning in a bottle twice like that.
Right.
Obviously there's, you know, there's tons of other things that could be done that could be just as successful, if not more theoretically. But I think that we were able to, it's like a moment in time, I guess. Mm-hmm. It was a long moment, mm-hmm. you know, but those factors, I think they're just not there anymore, you know?
So then the other question is, and then we'll move on from Excellent Adventures, is what's your favorite moment from the show and its life cycle? Is that an impossible question?
I think it's probably a toss-up between... There's two moments that come to mind. One was when we had Smug on, and that was sort of like the conclusion of Street Fighter 4, and we finally went undefeated, and that was it was a great time. Obviously, like Smug was a blast to have on the show. So that comes to mind, and then the one where Mike beats the bot. It's like Mike versus the machine.
Yeah, that was so funny.
Oh my god! Like, it's crazy. I haven't thought about either of those moments in forever. But that's legitimately crazy if you think about it.
All right, Ryan. So we do have questions about what you're currently working on and your future plans, but we also have questions from our Discord and our chat. Sure. I'll hit you with the obvious one. Do you still stay in contact with Mike? That's from C Trigger 101.
I haven't talked to Mike in a while, and I haven't talked to Mike in a while. Last I talked to him, like, we're cool. So, I mean, we're cool. I just, haven't heard back.
Drift apart. All right. Megori in our Discord says, do you plan on creating a series of tutorials or guides for any upcoming games like Samshaw or Mortal Kombat 11?
Yeah, it's definitely something to think about. I mean, I believe that every game, especially fighting games, sort of requires like a layer of foundational evergreen content. So stuff like, you know, system mechanic tutorials, character tutorials. I think these things are really important at the beginning of the life cycle of any game. So it's something that I would like to see done. I don't know if I personally am the one to handle those, but I have a platform and know how to do parts of this. So, I mean, if there are other people that were planning to do that and wanted to team up or collaborate somehow, I'm definitely open to it, because it's something that I want done, something that I want to be a part of. I just don't know that I personally am able to execute that myself for those games in a timely manner, because there's so many other people that probably want to do the same thing. But with that said, there are definitely there's still a lot of content that I feel like I need to get out of my brain for like Street Fighter V and Third Strike and stuff. So there is a possibility, you know, there's a stronger possibility of that. As well as, I don't know, some of the other like retro titles, like, I don't know, Marvel 2, maybe there's interest in exploring the retro games as well from people.
And then one quick question here, and then we'll talk about the esports show. Never Knows Best wants to know, do you still lift, bro?
Bro, fuck yeah, of course. of course I still lift. I'm sorry if I don't look like I lift, bro.
We can't tell from this angle, but
yeah, well, good definitely for you. It's a part of me. Lifting has been the only lifting and fighting games have been the only things that I've been that consistent with that are productive habits over the past.
So you mentioned fighting games being the constant, but you're on an esports show called the Untitled Esports Show, if I'm not mistaken. Will that show ever have a title?
I mean, I'm open to ideas. If you guys got ideas, feel free to send them my way. It's not...
But on that show, you have, I hope I'm pronouncing her name right, Zorin?
Zorin and Slasher.
And Slasher, who are decidedly general esports. Certainly Slasher is a general esports guy. So are you, I mean, is this just a natural progression here to go into the wider world of esports? Or what's the mission here with this show?
Good question. Yeah, I mean, so I thought about it towards the end of late last year and sort of thinking about how, you know, once I started making content again, I was like, all right, well, what really should I be doing? And at the time, you know, Excellent Adventure was still alive, so it wasn't like an either or scenario, but I kept thinking to myself that, you know, revisiting podcasts as a distribution method and a viable content medium was something that was worth doing. So I felt like I felt like, you know, it had been 10 years, right, since doing, you know, the Street Fighter podcast back in the day, back when people thought that you needed an iPod to listen to podcasts. And now, of course, you know, everybody listens to, you know, Joe Rogan and all these other big podcasters. So it seemed like, well, I did it before. Now it's a viable thing. Maybe it's time to revisit it, especially because there's going to be, it's a growing sector of Twitch, I think, for like long form discussion style content, mm-hmm. as you know, as we're doing right now.
Certainly.
You know, and there's no reason why podcasts can't start live on Twitch and then, you know, get put onto iTunes and Spotify and YouTube and everything. So I originally was starting to think, well, I can probably swing 3 to 4 podcasts on different topics with different people on different days, just myself. And so I was thinking like esports content, and then like a general FGC podcast. And so yeah, the Untitled Esports Show is the one that has seemed to have been the most consistent, and as well as I've gotten the most amount of response for, because even though we don't have like a super large audience right now, it's not really intended for that, because it's really intended to be more of like an industry podcast. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure there's a lot of people out there that are like, you know, screw esports is boring and whatever, and that's totally fine. It's not for you. It's really more to connect with people who like are in the industry and are, you know, actively trying to do stuff, because, you know, between me, Zorin, and Slasher, I mean, we have to, it sounds dumb, but we have to have like at least like 25 years of esports experience between the three of us easily.
Right.
And it's a blast to talk about it with these two, because even though, I mean, Zorin comes from FGC. So even though we're like, you know, you would consider them like me, the fighting game specialist, you know, they've been around for so long and understand what's going on both in fighting games and in the esports industry at large. So it just seems like a great time to try to fill this gap, because, you know, there hasn't been like, for example, Live on 3 that with DJ Weed and Sir Scoots, mm-hmm. and Slasher. You know, that show was around for a long time, and not to say that we're trying to be the next version of that show, but I do think that they left a gap, and sort of by accident, inadvertently, we have, you know, started to try to fill at least some of that in some way to industry people.
And you're actually doing that show every Tuesday, and you'll be doing one in about 30 minutes, if I'm saying, although I'm eating into your prep time here.
That's fine. That's fine. We're going to start in an hour. That's fine.
Okay. Right on. Well, we're out of time here on this show. But man, without at the risk of sounding sappy here, like I'm sucking up to the guest, certainly, the work you've done has left an imprint. One of the pillars of the community, content you've created has certainly made an impact. And, I mean, I think that fighting games owe you guys a lot, with the risk of like blowing your head up. Right. But, how many people via Excellent Adventures were like, oh my God, I'm addicted to this stuff. But it really was Excellent Adventures, and that was like their gateway. And I mean, what a stamp on the community you guys have made. And it's a shame that Excellent Adventures has come and gone. We will always have the memories, but it's also great to hear that you're still kicking ass and doing
thank you.
Doing cool things.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like I really appreciate, you know, that you guys, as well as so many other people, you know, were so invested in the show, and that we were able to reach so many people, and that, you know, it was the gateway, you know, Excellent Adventures was the gateway drug to FGC as a whole for a lot of people. And, you know, there were a lot of people that reached out to me, you know, replied to the email and, you know, shared really, personal stories about how it, you know, help them through tough times. And, you know, people have shared those stories in person with us. And, you know, I know it was definitely something that me and Mike and Steve would talk about, you know, like anytime somebody shared one of those stories with us. So, you know, I'm happy that we were able to do that, you know, through the show over so many years. And I'm super grateful for everybody who stuck around. And hopefully the stuff that I'm doing now is still interesting to people, and you know, we're just gonna keep going. I mean, you know, there are these podcasts, but then, you know, there's got a few other things that I've been working on as well in the music department. So yeah, I mean, it's good. So
that's great, Ryan. Well, thank you again for being on the show. I can't keep the show going on longer because Mike will miss the Bachelor finale.
You can't miss that,
and he's been waiting, talking about the Bachelor every week.
I don't want to come between a man and his bachelor.
You can't. It's the most important thing out there. Other than Excellent Adventures and Gutex, of course.
But again, so we're grateful to have had you on the show tonight. If you want more Gutex and more of his mind, you can tune into the Untitled Esports Show, which airs every Tuesday night, that has Zorin and Slasher on it. And you also catch that on the Cross Counter YouTube channel, which I was looking at earlier. All the episodes are there, as far as I can tell.
So twitch.tv/crosscounterTV will be going live in about an hour or so. The archives on YouTube whenever. Yes, that's the plan. But then, there's also, for those of you guys that like house music or techno, there's also the new Crosscounter Radio Twitch channel, which is basically running stuff all the time now. So check that out.
And that's like music you're curating?
Actually, I've been working with a group out here in Vegas called Soul State. And so we've streamed like the past four of their shows.
Oh, right on.
So basically, streaming from the venue, but now we just have the stuff running, on a loop.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's another idea right there.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, as always, I think I'm pretty ahead of the curve on this one. Because music is the standard in gaming, and esports, totally not the standard in music yet. But, you know, I think everybody knows that it will be. So just trying to be on the forefront.
All right. Well, again, Ryan, thank you so much for coming on the show. And we're going to call it.
Thanks for having me, guys. Really appreciate it.
All right, man. Well,
are you guys coming to NCR?
Not sure.
This guy's in law school. I got a kid. Right now. It's tough, man.
Oh, man.
You know, we were actually watching an old episode of X-Men Adventure when we conceived. It's crazy. y'all's power. Nah, just teasing. but again, we're real excited that you're on the show, man. And we look forward to seeing all the other stuff that you got cooking.
Awesome. Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
All right, man. We'll catch you next time.
Talk to you soon. All right. Later, guys.
Later. Bye. So, you know, he mentioned that sometimes he's like ahead of the curve, sometimes too far ahead of the curve. Some of these things are like light years, dude. He's like light years ahead.
Yeah,
the e-books and
sure.
stuff. But, you know, it's that future Gutex, future techs. Somebody's got to bring it back. Shave off some of those years and be like, damn, I'm too early. Mike Ross has to what? I'm sorry. Mike Schiller, aka Donka. Now I got Mike Ross on the mind. You know what I mean? Has to watch The Bachelor. Are you going to give us a full recap next week?
If you want, yeah.
Hell yeah, dude. Anything. All right, well, thanks.
All I can do.
Thanks to Gutex, of course, for being on the show. Thanks to John and Steve and to our boy Lon for making it happen. It was Lon's birthday yesterday, so hit him up on Twitter and send him all your
happy birthday, Lon.
Biggest birthday wishes you possibly can. See you next week, guys.